Good morning. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris this Sunday morning. We could stand up. If you are a visitor, I welcome you to one of the happiest places on earth this morning. Amen. If you turn around, look at your neighbor, wave to them, high five them, shake their hand, and let them know that once they've shaken your hand, they've agreed to be your worship partner this morning. It's already an agreement. And so we're going to begin to give glory to God this morning. God, I thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you will do. We're going to glorify your name for who you are. In Jesus' name, I pray that you rain down your spirit on us, Jesus. Amen.
I will sing unto the Lord and bless his holy name. I will sing unto your soul. Jesus, this is why we come together to praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about what God's going to do today. We sang tonight. We're not going crazy. We just wanted to sing that song. So we're excited about what God's going to do today. We have a couple announcements, so stay with us.
I don't know if everybody knows, but we've been having a ladies' fellowship once a month. We started last month, and this Thursday night is our second one. We're going to do it as our ladies' Christmas party, and you are welcome to invite everybody that you want to, all your friends and family, but we are going to have enchiladas served to us, so it will be $6 a person, and we need the head count by Wednesday, so I really hope y'all can come and just enjoy it with us.
Praise God. Can you say church Christmas party?
Church Christmas party.
Church Christmas party. That means all of us. So our church Christmas party is next Sunday. It's crazy. We are about to be 13 days from Christmas next Sunday, and it's nuts. So next Sunday at 6 p.m., we'll be meeting over at the Family Life Center for our church Christmas banquet, and we want everybody to please be there, okay? So it is also going to be catered. It's going to be a very nice meal. It's very affordable for the meal, for the menu that we're getting. And so we're not going to have to cook. We can dress up for the Christmas party, come in and eat. They're going to clean up. We can just fellowship and then go home. So please sign up in the foyer for that also by Wednesday night. Okay, we have to have a head count. That banquet meal is going to be, for those of you that made it to Sister Meyer's 70th birthday party, it was a beautiful, wonderful meal with brisket and baked chicken. And a really great home-style cooking. It's going to be the same menu. So we're going to have brisket, chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, rolls, choices of desserts. So it's going to be a wonderful time. But please, please, please sign up in the foyer. It is $11 for adults and $6 for children 6 and under. And I'll be out this morning selling tickets. So please stop by and sign up, and you can pay me. And then I'm working on getting it put on push pay for those that need to use that. Christmas Sunday is December the 19th, the next Sunday. So we usually pass out fruit. We'll have some beautiful Christmas music sang that Sunday, so you don't want to miss that. And then our Christmas for Christ offering is also going to be Christmas Sunday, December the 19th. And this offering goes towards starting new churches in the United States of America. So just make note of those things in your calendar and stop by and see Sister Candy and I for the banquets today.
Thank you. Excited about a church that does things, aren't you? Did anybody go to the Christmas parade last night? Raise your hand. Okay, who wants a float next year? I was like, we're getting a float in here next year. So y'all help me remember that. And Sister Lisa Lewis will too. So we're going to have one. Aren't you thankful to serve a God that anything is possible? Join us as we sing this song.
That has ever overcome your light. There is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is no weapon.
Always been with us. Every battle you've already won, you've already won.
Oh, show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Show me.
possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me what else he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough. Anything is possible.
Okay. go ahead and allow a brief hand clap to the Lord to come down off of that high right there. My goodness. My goodness. Oh, man. I'm nearly at a loss for words for how great the Lord is. We have a few prayer requests we're going to take before the Lord this morning. Brother Charles Fleming, Teresa Holly, Brother Jeff, Brother Randy, and the men in white, Lloyd Ushery, Donna Mosley, Sister Jessie Bolton, she needs a touch from the Lord. She's in a lot of pain. Kathy Munson, Leah's aunt, she's having heart issues. Belinda Lizzle's mother, she needs healing and strength. Brother Jimbo Thompson, Sister Carl Hosh, Sister Lois Williams, Paul Schoenberger, Sister Billy Bolton, Brother and Sister Arlton Bristow, Kenny and Georgia McCool, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Brother and Sister Jeremy John Proctor, Billy and Jeremy Tornado, and Brother and Sister Dickie, and Brother Jackie, his sister, Sister Mary Morton, she's sick this morning. Kathy Bounce, also sick this morning. A few nights ago, whenever the school shooting happened in Michigan, I was on my Facebook, and I was currently unaware of it. And then I went on my Facebook, and I went to the news section, and I read about it, and I saw it, and I couldn't help but just cry. And I was just sitting there on my bed, just laying down weeping. And then I was like, man, this is really dark. I was like, I hate that this happened. Four teenagers lost their life, if you're unaware, with the situation due to a school shooter. And through reading everything, it was just so negative. I was just, there was really no bright spot to the story. And I was just baffled by that. So I was like, man, let me go read a different story on my news thing. I prayed for those families right then, and then I moved on to the next story. And it's a sports story, which typically I enjoy, but it was talking about how several players were just having horrible seasons this year. And one of them was one of my favorite players. And I was like, my goodness, is there nothing non-negative on the news right now? I looked for probably a minute or two. There was nothing there that I was like, oh, wow, that brings joy to my spirit. The name of Jesus crossed my mind. And then I started to travail for those families, and I really started to pray for those families, and even the family of the actual person that was shooting. And I just thought, in a world so full of negative, how great is it that we serve a God that says He's overcome all of that? No matter how dark a shadow is, it can't overcome the light that the Lord produces. And then I really started to think, and you know, whenever I really start to think, that can sometimes get me in trouble. But then I thought about my own situations and how many times I've gotten myself in a situation that's so dark, and then I'm like, oh, Jesus, look what you've done to me. The one light that's keeping me up, that's keeping me somewhat lit, I'm over there trying to cast my stones at Him. And I just started to think. And as I kept thinking, I just felt so remorseful. And then Psalms 30 verse 5 came. And I've said this before, but I love this scripture. For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. If y'all know the rest of the verse, say it with me.
But joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning, church. We may be in a dark time right now. We may be in the middle of the night right now. But joy cometh in the morning. I was just talking to Sister Formby before church. And she said she related to what I said last week. And she said she had someone tell her, whenever the devil comes against me, I stick my lightning rods in the air and I praise and I worship. And I just felt the stirring of the Spirit of the Lord as a mighty storm. And I'm just sticking my lightning rods up in the air, just praying that I get struck by a bolt of lightning, praying that I get struck by healing, praying that I get struck with a spirit of joy to overcome all the despair. So if you would, I would like to ask someone to please step in for Sister Jessie Bolton. And then if you have any other needs at all, if you have any other needs at all, I pray that you would step out in faith and stick those lightning rods in the air in a time where it doesn't make sense to stick your arms in the air when it's so dark. Stick them up anyways. In a time where it seems like you're too far gone, I've had to stick my arms up in the air and just accept that I'm not, that I'm still His called and I'm still His chosen. I'm still one of the 99 that He's going to chase down, even though He's got 99 others. He say, I love you too much. I'm not going to let that one go. So Lord, if you have any needs, please come forward at all. Lord, we come before you today, humble servants, God, understanding that we're just vessels, a part of this gig. But Jesus, someone please step in for Brother Charles Fleming as well right now. Jesus, I plead your blood over this church, over this community, God. Jesus, over Paris, Texas, God. Over every lost soul, over every pastor, over every church, Jesus. Oh, Lord, your will be done in Paris as it is in heaven, God. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus,
shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus.
Yes, I speak Jesus.
going to take up our tithe and offering at this time, but I wanted to be sure that we did not rush the Spirit of the Lord. It's not going anywhere, but to, like Brother Stephen mentioned last week, to linger and to tarry. And the Spirit of the Lord is truly unmatched, and we see Him do it throughout the Bible. And so it's always something that I would always love to take full advantage of. Jesus, right now, I pray that You would touch this offering. You would touch each and every person and every family that gives and those that aren't able to give, Lord. And God, I just pray that You would continue to move through Paris, Texas, Lord. As the mighty river that You are, God, flow through us and out of us, God, and into our communities, Jesus. And Lord, again, bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Though the rains fall and the storms begin to rage, You are speaking. You calm the wind and waves. When the night falls, I carry burdens too. Grace is reaching for me. On the cross, You have won. It is finished.
Yes,
it is done.
Every stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love. Perfect love. Every mountain will be leveled. Every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love. Perfect love.
Hallelujah. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love. Perfect love.
Felt the presence of God and been touched by God. Why don't you stand with me right now, and why don't we thank Him one more time? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God, for what you have done for us already. We have felt your presence. We have felt your touch. I know, God, for a certainty that healing has already went forth in the bodies of those, oh God, that have been in need. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Your glory resides in the house this morning, and for that we stand grateful, O God. For you are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 You have the word of the Lord, and would like to turn to the book of Matthew, the first chapter. While you're turning there, I will say how excited I am to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. And count it a great honor to be able to minister His Word. Amen. Does anybody else look forward to hearing the Word of God besides me? Praise God. Matthew, the first chapter and the 20th verse. Also, before the reading of the Word of the Lord, I want to thank everybody that's been praying for my father. Continue to pray for him and my mother as well. Just wanted to say that publicly. Matthew, the first chapter. In verse 20, the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, sometimes the Lord wants to break into our thinking. Let me say it again. The most of the time, God wants to break into our thinking. Now, this is the Christmas story. Obviously, if you know the word of the Lord, you've already located where I'm at. This time of the year, I ask the Lord to always give me a fresh word of the Christmas story. So the Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the supernatural started to take place. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Let me stop right there, right? When you have questions like you've never had a question before. Joseph thinking, what in the world am I going to do? What am I doing? And has anybody ever been in the shoes I'm in right now? I can tell you, Joe, they haven't. But anybody else ever felt like that? But God gave him a reassurance. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreting God with us. Praise God. I want to preach this morning by the help of the Holy Ghost, the us of Jesus. the us of Jesus. Amen. Let's lay our Bibles down. Let's ask God to bless this word, Lord. We thank you for your power that has already been present inside this house. We thank you, God, for what you have done, O Lord, in the ministry of worship. But I pray, God, according to your word and your name and your blood, that this eternal written word, God, would go forth, and the soil of every person's heart that hears it, O Lord, it would fall on the good soil. And let the seed of that word be planted, O God. And let there be assurance, O Lord, and a hedge around about it, that it may, O God, come up forth and bring fruit, O Lord, for your glory. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord one more time? We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. It is within John's writings that we also read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is the us that grabbed my attention here recently looking at the Christmas story, because I'm always amazed at the miracle of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. I can't help it. Every time around Christmas, my mind is captivated at the miracle that took place, that Jesus Christ was not just 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And the realization, and when you really get a hold of what happened that night when Jesus came into this world, it is a miracle like none other, for there has never been a miracle duplicated like that before, nor since, nor ever will be. That was a one-time miracle from heaven, that a baby would be born, and in that baby would that baby at every time and essence of his life, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% like us. And the Bible said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was the disciples that knew Jesus Christ very well as a man. And in fact, I would give you this, that the disciples knew Jesus Christ first as a man. As that, there was a revelation that he was also God. But their occurrence with Jesus Christ was not that of like us. It was the familiar, that we can see him and he looks like I do. I can touch him and he feels like I do. I can hear him and he sounds like me. And I can look upon him. And it was the revelation that he was also God that grabbed a hold of their attention. But I would present unto you in this day and hour that I have evaluated my own self. And really, my first occurrence of Jesus Christ was that of God Almighty. But to get a hold of really of who he is, I also have to get a hold that he was 100% just like me. See it and to know it and to understand it and to believe it, it gives me strength here this morning. The disciples, they had that revelation that came to them, but before that, their knowledge of Jesus was he come from Nazareth. Their knowledge of Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem. Their knowledge of Jesus. And in fact, let me tell you it this way. Jesus was so human like you and I that if he walked into a room, the Bible says he had nothing of his image that really attracted anyone. I would say unto you that if his body walked upon into this room, just like you and I, as in that day, there wasn't anything spectacular that said, there's God Almighty. It was just, that's another man. And that's what amazed the people, because this just another man like us, when he started speaking, it was with authority and with power. We gravitate toward the God element of Jesus, as we should, but it is a reassuring element of my faith that also he was just like you and me. Why is that important? It is vital to the Christmas story that we know and believe that this incarnation, this Jesus Christ, came into this world like I did.
And in fact, I would say it unto you, as you know the Christmas story very well, he came into this world the way nobody wanted to come into this world. And he went out of this world like nobody ever wants to go out of this world. There wasn't any point in time from Alpha and the Omega, from his A to Z, from 0 to 33 and a half. He came into this world, nothing. And he went out of this world, undesirable. And all in the midst of it. Let me just say it this way, and I'll try to get to all of my notes, but my priority is that somebody realizes when they leave this house today that no matter what trial you go through and no matter where you are at, no matter how lonely you feel, that Jesus Christ was just like you. No matter how hard it is, no matter how hard the mountain is to climb, no matter how dark the night is, no matter how low the valley is, no matter where you are at, you've got a God that was just where you have been and maybe right now are. The tears that you have cried, he's cried the same tears. He was so human that he would say these words, which is astounds me, when they said, when will that you come again? And he said, I don't know, and the angels don't know, only the Father in heaven knows. Did he not say that? How in the world could he say that? Because as a man, he did not know. But as God Almighty, he was coming back. It blows my mind. I was coming to church in my short little drive thing. Dear God, I don't understand it all completely until I get up there, but I believe it and I'm thankful for it. As a man, you didn't know some things. In fact, the Bible says he had to grow. He had to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge with man. One of my favorite youth messages is at the age of 12. I'm glad it starts at 12. But at the age of 12, the Bible said, when he was leaving the temple, that he grew in stature both with God and with man. How in the world can he grow with God if he is God? Because he was just like me and you. He punched a clock. He knew what it was to have a hard days of work and wipe that sweat. Brother Jerry, have you ever wiped sweat on 19th Street over there in a building with four bays? Have you ever wiped that brow of sweat before? He's done the same thing. Brother Darnell, you ever lost a cattle? Had to go find a cow? He's done the same thing. He had to take care of the family issues at home. He's done everything that you've done. Anybody ever had a hard day and come home beaten, battered, and bruised within your mind? He had too. When I realize this, I'm telling you, I'm celebrating him that he's God Almighty, but I'm also thankful that he had trouble just like I do. Has anybody ever lost a loved one at an undue time? I don't find it odd that we don't see any mention of his earthly father, Joseph, after the age of 12. I don't know when he lost his father. I tend to believe, since Scripture didn't record any stories in his gospel and his ministry, that he must have not been there. I don't know the exact story, but I do know he knows the aches and pains of life when he loses a loved one. He knows what it looks like to look at a mama and say, go home, mama. When he stood on that cross, he knows what it's like, 100% man, to look at his parent and say, Mama, behold your son, John. John, you're going to get a new stature. Behold your mother, Mary. Mom, I can't be. You got to go home. You got to go away. I've got to do this alone. Jesus Christ, 100% man, died for our sins, took upon our sins, took upon our sickness. By his stripes, we are healed. It was the 100% man that shed his blood. It was the element of a man that gave his life and breathed that last breath. Do you know why this gives me hope? Because this is the only account in the history of humanity. There's no other God, false God, lowercase G-O-D, nothing in this world that's ever been Jesus Christ. Nothing. What elements of sickness do you have here today? He's been there. He took it upon his life. He accepted it. Do you know this? That Jesus Christ wrestled with his will. He had a will. Sterling, you can be a hard-headed, stubborn guy sometimes. You know how I know? Because I'm just like you, buddy. Am I right? So I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'll embarrass myself. I'm riding down the road last night. Got a lot of things on my mind, but still having trying to have a good time. Had the window down. Somebody, as I was in the passenger seat, pulls out as I'm trying to get something, some chairs to some people that I love that sitting and waiting on that parade. I'm trying to get them chairs, and a car is literally pulling out and about to hit this side door where we're both going at a slow rate of speed. I've got my windows down, and they've got their windows down. Those kinds of conversations are not bless you conversations. My will was current within me. Now, the last time that that happened, I handled it well. I blessed them. I really did. They said something, and Lord bless you. This time, I didn't do so hot. And before I knew it, I was yelling back at them. Now, I wasn't yelling the words they were yelling. But I was just in much of distress. And my will came up. And as soon as it did, and before I could catch those words, stir man, it was out. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know why God gives me this spontaneous element in my DNA that I do something before I even can even draw it back. God help me. Y'all don't know how much I've prayed about this stuff. And sometimes I'm good. Sometimes my will's just there. Jesus knows what that's like. And he was successful in defeating it every time. Do you know anybody, even though that they are quiet, that doesn't have a temper and gives into it every now and then? Susie, was Cody out or was he safe? This was 26 years ago. You said, now I was in the Newberry home, and one thought he was out and one thought he was safe, and we had a day-long discussion about that. Cody slid into home plate. He said one thing. Susie said another. Jerry chimes in, and I'm eating potato chips. I know, and Susie's about as sweet, as nice as they come. But everybody has a temper. Now, that wasn't her temper, and I'm just playing. But everybody's got something within inside of them that comes. I don't care how nice you are. It's the human will. Jesus Christ was like every one of us, but he conquered his every time. There was days I know that he wanted to do some talking on the work site as a carpenter, if you will. I know there were some days he wanted to take matters into his own hands. Don't you think Jesus Christ was not like you? But what's the difference between him and everybody else? What's the difference between him, young people, and everybody else when he was a teenager? Is he overcame everything that you haven't overcome. I was a teenager and I failed so many times, it's pathetic. As a minister, we have failed. You've already failed, haven't you? I have too. Believe me, I got more on you because I'm older. Jesus Christ was in the ministry, but he didn't fail. He overcame. And in fact, it goes to the place where his will was so strong that he said, God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to taste this death. I don't want to take their sins. I don't want to receive their sickness. God, to this point, I have, as Jesus Christ prayed, I have overcome everything. I don't have an appetite to take it now. He wrestled with his will all night long. That's how much of a will he had. He was victorious. we came up short. We have shown our measures of weaknesses. We show it on a daily manner. We show it, and we have the only thing that we can do. The only thing that I can do is, God, you know my heart's desire. And as Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And I'm just going to let you know, I commit unto you to die daily, but I've got to have your power and authority. I've got to have your goodness and your mercy. God, give me right now your grace. And when you pray those prayers, God allows you to receive whatever you need to overcome whatever you got to overcome so you can climb higher in Him. The beauty of the Christmas story is that this 100% God and 100% man, God, the invisible God, robed Himself in flesh and He dwelt among us. The invisible God took on, as the Bible says, He is the image of that invisible God. Colossians, He is God Almighty, robed in flesh, walking upon our streets that we walk, going to the marketplace like we do. But He's saying, hey, I offer you a way. So what issues do you have in your 100% humanity this morning? What troubles do you have? What degrees do you have? What question marks do you have? What are your, where are you at this Christmas season? Can I offer you a baby? I don't know about you, but a baby doesn't answer a lot of questions. They provide them. A baby doesn't allow less stress. It brings it. A baby doesn't necessarily give you all the comfort you ever want. In fact, it gives you sleepless nights. It gives you irritable moments. It causes you to go to places you've never went before. Am I right, Mom and Dad? You'll discover things about yourself that you never knew before. I can get up at 2 in the morning. I can. I can do things that I didn't think I could do. But a baby necessarily doesn't do a lot to bring a lot of answers and solve a lot of problems. But how in the world, listen to me now, this Christmas season, how in the world, the Bible says in Isaiah, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. How in the world do the feeble shoulders of a baby can handle the weight of the world? But that's what the Bible says. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. All I can do this Christmas season is offer you a baby that's 100% going to live life like you have lived it and 100% overcame it and 100% God all at the same time. Woo. I don't know about you, but when I've come here this morning and during this Christmas season, I've come to celebrate Jesus Christ. Why in the world do I need to see and acknowledge that Jesus was just like you and I? I'll tell you why. Because if we look to a God that wasn't just like you and I, and we look to a God that did not overcome, we would be like every other religion in this world. The difference between Christianity is we worship a God that was 100% like us and 100% deity and eternal all at the same time. Confucius can't provide you that. Muhammad can't provide you that. All the religions in the world can't provide you that. But I give you a baby this Christmas season that can provide you that. How much reassurance would you find right now if I offered you a baby and said, this is going to solve all your needs? This is going to answer every one of your prayers. This is going to get you through the comfortless nights. This is going to see every tear that flows off your cheek. This is, you would look at me and say, how in the world does that make sense? Guess what? It didn't make sense then, only but to a few. And that was some lowly shepherds on the side of the hill and some magi coming from the foreign land that arrived at somewhere at the 2 years of age. It didn't make sense to the world at his birth. It didn't make sense to the world in his ministry. And it didn't make sense to the world in his death. But when that grave split and the tomb came up and he came up out of that grave, everything began to shake and rattle when he took that last breath. Then we said, he was the Son of God. I find some hope this Christmas season. Has anybody went through this year and been a little depressed? Anybody gone through this year with some sickness? Anybody gone through this year with some a little bit of issues and problems? Anybody had this year full of desperate measures and loneliness? I offer you a baby this Christmas season. It don't make sense, but that's why it takes faith. Whew. How many's ready to have faith in a baby? Now, I've cried some tears already this year with some of y'all. I've prayed some prayers already that produced tears for some of y'all and a whole lot of people out there as well. I've talked to and I've counseled with people already this year that wished they hadn't gone through what they're going through. Been on the phone with some of you and you break down and cry. This year hasn't been kind in every regards to some of you. But this Christmas season, as we close this year, I offer you faith in a baby. It doesn't make sense that he can solve your issues and problems and needs. It doesn't make sense that he can comfort you. But I promise you this, that if you can place your faith in a God that came into this world and took him himself of as a servant, the Bible says, he became a servant. Brother Griffith, you've prayed for people to get healed and they've been healed. And it's all because of a man that gave his blood on his back. It wasn't the God. Let me just say it this way. And I introduced this message. And I'm going to try not to be much longer whatsoever. I introduced this message. The disciples first knew Jesus Christ in his humanity. Then they got to know his deity. Does that make sense? When we have grown up in church, we knew Jesus as God Almighty. We were introduced to his deity. Does that make sense? And then we had to come to acknowledge that and have faith that he was just like I was. Does that make sense? I'm slowing it down because I don't want to just preach and everything be good and you say a bunch of amens and I never ask for an amen. But I don't want to just preach and you just go, it just sounds good. I want to make sure you understand this. We had to be introduced to his humanity. And sometimes it boggles my mind, his humanity. Because how in the world could he do just like me and overcome it and do that and then take upon my sins when he didn't deserve it? His deity wasn't on trial with Pontius Pilate. Does that make sense? His humanity. Now, his humanity was claiming the deity, and that's what they had a problem with. But we on this side thank God for his deity, his God factor. But he was also man at the same time, 100%, just like me. The us of Jesus this morning. That's what Christmas is. When we look at that baby, next time you see a manger scene, I want you to see Jesus Christ, 100% God. Let me just say it this way. Do you know the reason why Jesus prayed every prayer he prayed? Because you have to pray every prayer you prayed. He would not be 100% man if he did not have to pray. You ever struggled with some of those prayers that he prayed? He prayed from his man factor, 100% man. I'm struggling right now, Father. He had a heavenly father because you've got a heavenly father. How? Because he was 100% us. But then he would say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the God element, sins forgiven and removed. Go and sin no more. Because I'm also God. 100%, eyes be opened, and they were open. over here, he was saying, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with life. I'm struggling with the things that have happened to me. I'm struggling these things. What issue did Jesus Christ struggle with as a man that he brought on himself? How many really enjoy struggling with things that you did not bring on yourself, but somebody else brought on you? Welcome to Jesus Christ. What did he bring on himself that he struggled with? He didn't do a wrong thing. I'm telling you, man, the more we see it and the more I preach it and the more I speak it, it boggles my mind. I'm struggling right now with all of this stuff that's going on. I've got to grow in you. That's found in the book of Matthew when he was 12 years of age. He grew in stature with both God and man. But as a man, I struggle. But as God, thy sins be forgiven. As a man, you've got to help me. I need something. But as a God, he said, thy sins be forgiven. Thy eyes are healed. Lame walk, death raised over here. Oh, I need something over here. I'm everything you'll ever need. Over here, I got questions. Over here, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you, man, the more I get a hold of it, the more I get excited about it, the more it boggles my mind. Why? Because I know and understand when I see him, that's the one that conquered life. That's the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He didn't give in to his humanity, but he overcame. And because he overcame, I can overcome. I'm going to come to a close, Lord willing. See, I didn't do anything with those notes. It went here and here and here. But listen to me. What are you struggling with right now? And most of you know me. Some of you don't know me. But I'm more or less to the point, cut and dry, let's get to it. I don't want fluff and I don't want frill. Let's just get to the issue. What am I struggling with right now? What am I struggling with? Won't you ask yourself that question? What am I struggling with? What's the core issue that I'm really struggling with? Where does my faith really need to be ministered to? What thoughts do I really need to deal with? Joseph was thinking, and in the middle of his thoughts, God interrupted him. If you get out any at all and you minister to people outside of these four walls, outside of the 1.5 hour, 2 hours time limit that we spend on Sundays and any other time that we spend here and in the week, outside of that, if you get out into these marketplaces, you will realize that there are so many people hurting. There's so much struggle. I know this because I have done it myself. I have prayed some serious prayers here recently. Lord, you've got to help me with this issue. I'm not lying. I mean, it's some serious issues within my heart and in my mind. God, I don't want to receive that spirit within myself. No matter what issue, no matter what problem, Jesus Christ was right there just like you are. And I'm very careful to look at somebody and say, I know what you're going through. And in fact, I don't ever really say that because I don't. There is nothing that in my life, now I may have something similar. Were you sick as a young boy? Did you spend some time in the hospital? Well, so did I. So we do have some similarities, but I have no idea the things that you went through during that time. And you have no idea the things that I went through during that time. Jesus Christ does. He's the only one. I can relate to you a little bit, I know what it's like to be in the hospital. I know what it's like to have some uncertainties of what it's all going to happen. I know what it's like to have night fulls of pain. I know what it's like, but I'm not 100% know everything that you've gone through with inside your emotions and your mind, but Jesus Christ does. Why? Because he was just like us. He knows what it's like to have a lost loved one that's out there. He knows what it's like, Sterling, as you referenced, to have one sheep where he can't find it and he has to go searching for it. So mom and daddy that has the children that aren't in the house of God, he knows what it's like to search and seek for that one lost sheep. He knows what it's like to wait on a prayer to be prayed and it to come through because he prayed those same prayers. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to struggle. He knows what it's like to go to work and be beaten down, dog tired, and all the things and stress of life taking place. He knows what it's like to provide for a home. He knows what it's like. Young people, he knows what it's like to struggle in a world full of wickedness and sinfulness. Mason, come here. I used to use y'all a lot more often. I don't know more. Does Daddy love you? How many times a day do I tell you I love you? I give you hugs and kisses on your head? In front of your friends?
Yes.
It hurts a dad when your son comes to you and he's looking for a way out. Not a way out of all this, but just an easier road. Have you done that? It's not for everybody. I've looked at all my children and said, listen, I can't provide you an easier road, and I'm not going to try to find you an easier road. All I can tell you is Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with him, a true relationship with him, he will give you what you need to overcome every issue that you have and face. And I'm not here to rescue you. And I'm not here to make excuses for you. Is that right? Do you always enjoy those words? I want to protect that heart and protect that mind. And all. 3 o'clock this morning, you know what I was doing? Praying for my kids and my wife. But Jesus he knows what it's like to struggle. He knows what it's like, young people, to have loneliness going through your school hallways. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to have heartaches, persecuted, struggle. But because, and this is my message, because he overcame every one of your issues in life, because he was one of us, I can overcome too. I can lift my hands, Brother Griffith, this morning and say, because you overcome and you were just like me, Lord Jesus. That gives me hope. We live in a world, listen to me, the world Jesus Christ was introduced to was full of wars. If you go study the 400 years of silence, when we sing that song, Silent Night, there was 400 years worth of silent nights. And the Jews and the Israelites, the people of God, were literally destroyed time and time again. They're fixing to celebrate a holiday. They call Hanukkah because of what they had to overcome just 200 years or 180 years before the birth of Christ. They had the world powers against them. So when Jesus came into the world, it was full of wars and rulerships of empires. This morning we sat on the verge of China wanting to invade Taiwan. when we've promised Taiwan, Brother Griffith, you can correct me, but we've promised Taiwan that we would help defend them. We also sat with Russia getting ready at the border of Ukraine. Am I right? And we've promised Ukraine we would help defend them. We sat in a day and hour with so much uncertainty within government and the socialistic politics. What are we to do? I bring you a baby. How's that fear going to be calmed? I bring you a baby. How are you all going to overcome? I bring you a baby this Christmas season. As long as you have faith in Him, you're not going to go anywhere till He says you can go. And nothing's going to happen outside of His plan or will. And we may have a lot of questions and we may see this and that. But I'm telling you, my faith is not in any government of this world. It's in a baby called Jesus. God with us. Emmanuel. I want us to stand all over the house. I want you to lift every one of your hands, if you would, please. I wanted you to lift every hand in this building, in this household, submitting your heart right now. And if you have a need in your life, I want to welcome you down to the front. I welcome you to look unto Him and allow this baby we call Jesus to supply your comfort and your strength, knowing, Jesus, you were just like I am. And you overcame. Singers, would you sing? I've allowed my heart to bleed before you because I know there's needs in this house. I know there's needs in this place. I know there's needs in your life. And I can't offer you any other solution but Jesus. You've got turmoil maybe in your family. I give you Jesus. You got question marks in your life. I give you Jesus. You need healing in your body. I give you Jesus. You need hope and an assurance that He is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I give you Jesus. Would you come to this front? If you need some strength from the Lord, I want to invite you to the altar. If you need some strength, if you need a reassurance, I want you to look unto Him right now. Come on, this Christmas season, we've come to celebrate a man that was God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
You are good in your
way. Hallelujah. Why don't you reach over, grab somebody by the hand. Why don't you lean over and start praying for somebody that may need prayer? Extend your hand. In the name of the Lord. Allow God to speak to you right now to pray for somebody that's not here this morning. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord. We ask it of you, God.
Jesus Christ. You are good in your ways. Oh, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh,
right now, everybody has somebody in your life that is in need this time of the year. This time of the year is a wonderful time of the year, and I love it, and I celebrate it. As quick as I can start it, I want to start it. But I also know this time of the year, there are people that are hurting. There are people that are experiencing these times for the first time of a loss of a loved one. This is the time of the year when people go to homes that they usually see people and they're not there. This is the time of the year something tragic has happened, maybe, or whatever, and any reason. There's a lot of hurting going on. All we can do is offer them a baby. We don't have their answer, but we know who is the answer. And everybody right now in this house knows somebody. It's not even within inside these four walls right now. But I want us to pray a prayer right now. I want to right now allow God to give somebody into your mind. And I want it to be specific. And you call upon their name, but give some specific, Lord. And we're going to pray a prayer of strength right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All right, I want you to pray right now who God has laid up on your heart. Right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to strengthen and supply, God, a measure and level of strength. Sick right now at this time of the year. I want you to pray right now in the name of Jesus that healing would take place in a miraculous way. A few Sundays ago, I went home and hurt my back. Brother Stephen, come on, we're still in church. It's all right, we're flowing. Come here. Y'all remember when Brother Stephen testified of the God healing his back? You know what my dumb mind did? You know what my... that's a man of God. You know what my stupid mind did? Well, that was great. That was this dumb, stupid flesh of mine that's so much full of carnality. As you were testifying of God healing your back, I was like, cool. Guess what happens to me as soon as I get home? I'm pulling my sock off like this right here, and I pull my back and hit the floor. I'm putting myself up here to let you know I'm human. It was bad enough, my family would tell you, I went to the chiropractor twice that week and struggled all week long. Brother Griffith, I'm sorry, I know, but I did it. And I said, Lord, you really got me, didn't you? I'm never going to downplay anything anymore. Not that I downplayed it, but that's in my human. Brother Jerry, I came back that Sunday and I said, Lord, I don't care what you got to do. I don't care if I got to admit it to the whole church. I need my back touched. I canceled my next two chiropractor appointments and I believe the Lord to heal me. And guess what happened that next day? I got my healing. Now I had to humble myself, brother. And I just had to humble myself to tell you all the story. But I'm telling you, I'm weak and feeble within my mind and faith sometimes. I'm carnal and dumb and stupid sometimes. But Jesus Christ was just like me, and he overcome, though. And I could say, God, forgive me, help me, and guess what? He forgave me, and he helped me, and he renewed my strength. If there's a sickness right now in your world, in your life, my dad is trying to overcome this throat cancer, and he is probably going for a feeding tube tomorrow. He's lost enough weight. He was dehydrated this week, completely dehydrated, and they had to pump fluids in him, just struggling. My mom as well, as she suffered many injuries, as y'all know, and we're all trying to take care of each other. Okay, you got somebody sick as well. I'm not throwing that out for a sob story at all. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody's got somebody. I'm telling you, I can offer you a baby here this morning. Doesn't look like much, but it's enough. Because he lived life just like you and I. But he overcome it. I want you to pray right now for somebody sick in your family. God, my dad needs the touch of the Lord right now in Jesus' name. I curse, O Lord, every spirit of fear and distress that is upon his mind in the name of Jesus. And I claim victory, O Lord, over that sickness. Give my mother strength, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, upon heart, mind, and soul. God, right now, do a work, O Lord, with inside my home. Let your glory rest right now in the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, I receive it because you took upon your humanity, took upon my illness. You overcome. In Jesus' name, touch and strengthen right now with the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Why don't we lift our hands and celebrate the baby one more time? Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Ready to get baptized in the name of Jesus here this morning. Thanking God. God's good, amen. God's good. Once fit to be buried in his name, the holy name of heaven, given among men whereby we must be saved. For those who can stay around, I want you to stay right now. They're going to continue to worship the Lord right now. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, if you need a touch of the Lord right now, this is going to be only the beginning. If you need a touch of the Lord right now, I'm telling you, God can do some great and mighty things. Amen. If you can afford to stay, I want you to stay because we want to celebrate in the name of Jesus what's being done. Hallelujah. Why don't we thank him again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are coming.